structure. Is a torsion-free flat connection. Nabla with holonomy in SL and R. I'll say it's Z affine if it's in SLMV. So locally it means that if we cover our manifold by charts, then the transition functions are in SLM Z, although Mark, I believe, used Z here also. All right, so we say it's scalar. Well, everything affine flat scalar, or if it's a Japanese school, then it's called Hessian. If you have a Riemannian metric G, which is in the form Hessian some function, where Y and J are the affine coordinates. All right, so given such structure, we can consider it the dual affine structure. So that's Nabla check. We're going to be twice a Levi-Civita connection minus. Or specifically in coordinates, if you in chart U, alpha, your new coordinates y, I hat are going to be the derivatives of the local potentials, and the new local potentials are going to be the transform of the old ones. It has to be convex, so that we want to have a metric. Smooth convex. All right, so out of this structure, you can construct several, or actually two, cohomological invariants. All right. Huh? I'm sorry? Is a coordinate chart, so it is locally. So locally, I can so it's a chart. So there are two I'm particularly interested in. First is a monodromy. Well, you have a flat connection, so your holonomy is really like a monodromy. So this is going to be a map from the fundamental group of your manifold, what you call M, into the SLM Z R N. So from this, you can get a class in class in the first cohomology, the M. This coefficient in this local system of the tangent. So I'll call T. So T is a covariantly constant.
vector fields.
All right, so this class is called Redlinian subtraction. So the second class I want to associate to this is a metric class. You can define it as a Chebyshev cycle as follows. So you have your covering manifold by local charts, and the potentials, they have the same Hessian, but they may be different locally. So you just take the differences potential, and the difference is given by some affine function. So it's going to be an element in the cohomology of M with the sheaf of affine functions. Out of this class, again, you're going to consider, well, I'm going to consider only the part which is not the full affine function, but only the slope of it. So I'm going to get a class, maybe I call it class or row. And this is going to be class U. It's going to live in H1 and in the cotangent local system. All right. So maybe I'll also write, I'm going to use it, what is this class? So we can, it has a DRAM representation as a one form with values in T. So you can locally write rho to be following one form, so d by dy I, dy I. Or more invariant in row of any vector is given, is this vector. All right, so, yeah, and I say one last word. I call this sim plus Monge Ampera. Maybe I should write the name once, at least. But I'm not certain. If it's determinant of Gij is 1. All right, so also Mark didn't mention the part of the Strominger-Yau-Laszlo conjecture, which is, has another name now. It's called metric collapse. Maybe I'll say what this is. It's Gross and Wilson, and also Page Saberman. So it is the following: if you have maximal degeneration of Calabi-Yau's, so this is what we want for mirror symmetry. Then, if you fix a class also, say a class omega, a Kähler class. Then by Yau theorem, there is a, so Yau, there is a Richeflex metric in this class. So there exists a unique Richeflex metric. So what we're going to do, we're going to take the metric limit. So we're going to take Z, S, and we're going to take the GS, so GS. And we're going to scale this thing so it has a finite diameter by diameter. Yes. And so this is now a family of metric spaces, and by Grom of compactness or precompactness, it has a metric limit. some metric space. Y is a metric G. Now, let me call it my bar. So far, there's no conjecture yet, but the conjecture is what this actually, what this space Y bar is. It has some very beautiful additional structure, namely all this. I'll just say it's an integral affine manifold outside of Clairaut dimension 2 discriminant, which is also which where this metric is a Mondrian pyramid. So conjecture says first that there exists Y inside Y bar, so that Y bar minus Y is a codimension 2, or at least 2. It's all real, by the way. So Y is a Mondrian pyra Z affine manifold. And also, what else? Well, in most of the examples, actually, in all of the examples so far, Y bar is homeomorphic to a sphere. N dimension where N is the dimension of a particular member in the Calabrial family. And in the mirror family, with its own matrix, converges to the same space Y bar with the same Y, same matrix. So it's the same matrix space, but it has a dual affine structure. All right, maybe I'll give an example of this, how to prove this conjecture. The first case is dimension 1. Not how to prove this, it's obvious, but let me draw a picture at least. So we have a family of elliptic curves. Let me give a particular family, let's say, cubics in P2. I'm going to take the limit. So this is an elliptic curve, E, S. So this is like a torus. C modulo some lattice, 1, tau. So we're going to take the limit as S goes to 0. So if you're an algebraic geometer of your mark or dot, then you would see this picture. Three dividers intersecting. But if you are a metric guy, then you would see the following thing. So if you fix a class, then it's going to be a flat metric, which is a Ricci flat. So your elliptic curve is going to be a flat torus. And as the S goes to infinity, the modular parameter tau goes to plus I infinity, I suppose, or one of the ways. Tau goes to plus I infinity. So your torus becomes like very long, and But you also want to scale it now so that this has a finite diameter. So it's going to be thinner and thinner and thinner torus. So it's going to be a circle. And this is the very first example of an affine manifold. There is a similar picture for curves of any genus higher than one, and I guess Grisha Mihalkin is going to maybe talk about that. So you have a degeneration to some graph. So the other example, two, this was the first example, it's a K3 case. What are the coordinates? Oh, it's Y is Y bar. So it's the same. So there are no singular points here. Y is S1. Y is Y bar S1. Huh? S is a circle. Yeah. It's a what? It doesn't, well, yeah, well. s equal to 0, I think it's pretty simple. So, so for the K3 case, this was justified by Gross and Wilson. But beyond that, it's all unknown territory. There is so, I mean, maybe I mentioned, so there is some progress in a three-dimensional case. Well, at least there is some local metric near. So in a three-dimensional case, this discriminant gonna look like this trivalent graph. So there is some progress in the recent case. Loftin, Yao Zhao. Although I don't think this is the right metric. But, of a circle, yeah. Yeah, this is a circle, so it has an affine structure as given by the D-theta. A circle cross a circle, yeah. I'm only talking about the metric limit here. Mark was also going, well, talked about how to reconstruct the full Labi-Yau family, namely starting with an affine structure, you can get two dual torus bundles. And this sort of more or less the two dual families. All right. So, since, well, I'm going to talk about two-dimensional case, though it seems to be easy, but it's, I think it's a beautiful geometry, and it's not everything is, well, at least, there are things which I don't understand, so maybe, so dimension two. So, all right, so what is our fine manifold? So, it's a sphere with a bunch of singular points, with m singular points. All right, so let me tell you what's the structure is near each singular point. So, near each singular point, we start with R2, with the standard R2, and then we make a cut. And then we're going to introduce a new affine coordinate in the neighborhood of this ray. So everywhere else the affine coordinates are x, y. In the new neighborhood, they're going to be x plus max of 0 and y and y. So these are the two affine coordinates. So if you look at what a straight line is, the straight line is going to look like this. This is a straight line in my new affine. All right, so I also want to put some restrictions on metric. So metric is such that when you dualize this thing, namely take dk by dx, dk by dy, this is going to be a dual picture, so I'll draw it like this. So I want it to be the same affine. The affine structure looks exactly the same. Same picture. So maybe I'll calculate what the monodromy is. So x goes to like x plus y, and y is an invariant coordinate. So we can actually say what's the line is through, since y is an invariant coordinate, so y, so this line is a straight line in our structure. All right, so this is going to be my singularities. So I call this standard singularity. All right, now the claim is that the number n is equal to 24. It's an exercise. let me briefly tell you how to show it's divisible by 12. So divisible by 12, what you look at is you take SLN, SL2Z, take its commutator. And this is Z12. So, and the image under the quotient map of the element 1101, this is what our monodrome is. Is a generator. So must be divisible. Well, it's a little bit more tricky to show that it has 24, but I'm sorry, what? So to get the actually 24, I mean, it's not just enough to have this one monodrome, because you may have an affine structure with 36 singular points, with 48 singular points, and so on. Anyway, any number larger than 24 is good. And every monodromy would have this form. But actually, it's more than just a monodromy. So this particular affine structure which I described is more than just monodrome, because you may have the same monodrome if you go like twice cover your thing and then come with this affine transformation. So you would have to go to some Z central extension to solve that. Anyway, let me mention Liu, Hemmington do this calculation. And also, it's also in Conseil 71 second. All right, so we have 24 points. Now, I'm going to state a conjecture, which is a Calabi conjecture. Ah, I forgot to say one important thing, actually. That's actually very important. When I talked about two classes, I can also compare the two classes even for different affine manifolds by just by the following proposition. So under the duality, under the mirror duality, the class rho, so the local system T would interchange with the local system T star, the dual condition. And the class rho would interchange with the class nu under the mirror duality. And this is in Groth and Zibin. So we can actually compare, even if we have two different affine manifolds, we can compare both classes rho and nu of two affine manifolds just by looking at their monodromy as a pi one. As long as we can identify the pi ones, then we can compare this two maps. So now the conjecture, Calabi conjecture. The following, so suppose you have Z affine S2 with standard 24 singularities. also which is scalar. So some metric is given. And so given scalar, you can associate two classes, rho and mu. Then there is this unique Mondrian pair. With the same classes. All right, so let me maybe point the difficulty here. So you have this space of all possible Z-affine structures, and it's 44 dimensional. So I claim, I'm going to actually count this in a second. The space of all Mondrian pair structures is 48 dimensional. So it says that if you just arbitrarily choose your integral affine structure, it may not admit a Mondrian pair structure. What you need to do, you need to, this is already a different picture, this is S2. So you remember, Mark talks, you can move your, so he said that he's not sure where to put these points. Well, nobody's sure, except for the Mondrian pair. They will tell you where precisely you need to put these points. So this is what makes it hard to use like all this kind of continuity methods to prove this Mondrian pair existence. Okay, that's for the conjecture. Oh, yeah, let me count maybe. It's fun. Oh. So first, as I said that you can, if you have an integral affine structure, then you can arbitrarily move your singular point nearby along each neighborhood has a one particular eigen direction. This is the straight line which I draw on a local picture, so that you can move it and it doesn't change your monodromy. So it doesn't change anything. So you can actually get it in a fine structure. So this accounts for 24. And you can get another 20 by actually picking this class row. So let me say how you get 20 per row. One of B, so my B is going to be a sphere from now on. And B naught is going to be a sphere minus 24 points. H1 of B, and also I have a high map from a sphere, middle without pointing to sphere inclusion. So I B push forward my this is my local system, so this is 20. So that's what Mark mentioned yesterday. Let me actually count it differently. So how many, essentially, so what we're going to count, we're going to, if you have a, we're going to count a dimension of this family of representations from the fundamental group of sphere minus 24 points into the SLN SL2. So okay, let me. So this is my sphere. There are 24 points. So a point I have a loop. Now, around every loop, I have a. I know that I'm my linear part of my monodrome is conjugate to this. So I can actually have only one freedom in choosing this part here. So that gives me 24 And then I can arbitrarily choose a fine chart with which I start from, that's minus 2. And there is an overall 0. I mean, if I go over all 24 loops, that's going to be 0. So that's another minus 2. Or it's 20. Okay. But and similar, the space where the class H be my low, I move forward C star is also 20 dimensional. So, but remember our classes actually lived in H1 of B0, T. But I believe, I actually claim that they live inside H1 of B0. H1 B. H1 B. That's because we have this standard singularity. So there is one condition. Since we have so there are two conditions actually. One condition is that since the determinant of our Hessian is 1, not any number, it's just 1, then we have the two affine volumes of our, so the volume, so the two conditions of the volume, affine volume with respect to one affine structure of S2 has to be equal to the affine volume with respect to another affine structure, S2. Now, what's the volume? Well, how you calculate the volume? It's very easy. You take your class row and raise it into the top power, and then integrate. So remember, row was, as a differential form, it was d by dy I dy I. That's exactly what you get. So then the volume is equal to rho squared. So rho squared has to be equal to mu squared. One condition. Another condition, so let me write one exact sequence, actually two exact sequences. Zero goes to R to affine functions on B naught and to the cotangent local system on B naught. Now you can push this sequence forward and get the following affine sequence, exact sequence. R into affine on B is a push forward. And Gross and Zieber, they claim that this is exact, which is actually not hard to check locally. So what's this affine B? It's a sheaf of continuous functions which are affine when we restrict them to B. Now, the long exact sequence associated with this in cohomology tells you one more restriction. So if you start with the H1 of H1 of I of T star to H2 R. So remember our class actually came from here. So it must finish here. And another claim is that this map is exactly the cup product with the class row. So that gives one more restriction. On, in a sense, you can write the row times mu is 0. All right, so all together we get 20 plus 20 minus 1, and minus 1 is 38. Now, miraculously, 38 is a known number for the K3 surfaces. Maybe, I'll skip this. So, simple example is this story. So I will have time to talk more about K3s. So K3, if you have elliptic K3, yeah, get 20 for each of this, right? So 20 for each of the classes, and then you have one condition here and one condition here. All right, so if you have elliptic K3, so E is a fiber, P1, then you can associate to this elliptic K3 a Mongeampera integral affine structure on C minus, at least 24 singularities, so generic. How do you do that? Well, you make a hyper-Taylor of this. So, okay, so here I have a top volume form, which is a omega 1 plus I omega 2, this is an H20X called X. Hyperkeller, so say for instance you take omega 1 and omega 1 squared fusion 0 on the degenerate and omega 2 squared fusion 0. So we can use either of them for the symplectic form. So say for instance take omega 1, new symplectic form. And then you have integrable system. Since the fiber becomes become Lagrangian. Or maybe I'll write it explicitly. So explicitly, you take a basis of one cycles in your fiber. Fiber is called E. And then you can integrate your omega 1 over each of the cycles. And this is going to be a closed form which is locally exact. So it's going to be locally dy or something. And y are your point coordinates. What about metric? Well, metric is also, so the good thing about this is that you don't need to know the metric on K3. To get a metric on the base. Because, well, I believe nobody knows what the metric in K3 is, but you don't need to. To get a metric, what you do, you just integrate the volume form, which you do know, it's just a product of the two omegas. Well, push forward, it's mapped high. This thing. This is going to be 1-1 form on the base. So this is going to be the associated 1-1. And you can actually check, it's not hard, that this gives a Mongeampera metric. All right, let me now go to the base and see what's behind all this Hyperkeller trick. It's very simple. Just the following fact. Yeah, I mentioned one more thing, which is also important. If you do the same thing with respect to omega 2 instead of omega 1, then you would get a dual affine structure. It's the same metric, since the metric, well, doesn't see omega 1, omega 2, you just see the full volume form. All right, so the key observation is the following. If you take a matrix, 2 by 2 matrix, take its inverse. Then determinant of the metric equal 1, that's what we use, this is what we learn in high school, is equivalent to the A equal to D. So, well, let me maybe draw a little more geometric picture. So you can choose two coordinates, two affine coordinates, X and Y, or you can, here is your local graph of your local, of the differential of your local potential. So it means it maps your affine coordinates into the dual coordinates, so X hat, Y hat. Or you can visualize the same graph, well, same picture. You can choose another pair of coordinates. For instance, oh, I have to look at my notes. There's some signs involved. So X hat, Y, and consider the same the same two-dimensional submanifold as a graph of a different function. And what makes it possible to do that is match, this is a positive definiteness. X minus Y hat. And then the statement is that Hessian of K is determinant of a Hessian is 1 is equivalent to saying that phi is a harmonic. This is exactly this statement if you make a change of variables. So, or maybe I'm going to introduce another function, say little phi, which is the derivative of my capital phi with respect to x s, second derivative. Then this is also equivalent to saying that the Hessian of little phi, I mean the Laplacian of little phi. Now, if you also want to incorporate the particular way, the particular type of singularities, then it's also very easy to do in this half-changed coordinates. Namely that if you also require that this is not zero, but number phi is given by a, some reason I have a minus delta x, y, then this is equivalent to, well, plus everything else, is that you have a standard singularity. And we all know how to solve this equation, right? So that makes it good. Now, all right. That's from the K3 to the affine manifold. What about the other way around? Well, if you have an affine structure, then by doing this change of variables, you can now consider two functions. F is equal to x hat plus I, y, and g equals to y hat plus I x. And the functions are holomorphic with respect to the conformal structure. And the metric looks, well, G is another G metric. This is phi G x hat squared G y squared. All right, so in particular, you can take F to be your conformal coordinate. Now, if you do an SL2Z transformation, then the pair F and G is defined up to SL2Z. Now, that's exactly what we need. So if you just, tau is d f by d dg, that's up to standard module section of the FLQG, so you can take tau to be your elliptic curve invariant, and that's defined in elliptic vibration. And the near singularity your P, well, is going to be minus 1 over 2 pi I log Z values, or plus some holomorphic function. This is exactly the type of behavior, This is exactly the behavior of the modular invariant, which you want to have here. So it compactifies, no problem. All right, so, okay. Now, is also the dimension of the elliptically fibered K3s with a section. And if you also choose the top volume form. Maybe. I guess I won't. But let me just state this. So if you there is a map alpha from B0 in the Z covariant sections H1 to H2. That's actually important, so I wish I had more time. H2 over E, where X hat is X. And the map is defined as follows, maybe. So if you have a closed one chain on the base with values in the thing, this is the same as a one cycle. P of the stores with values in Z. So if you have a chain with values in this one cycle, so you can leave this chain into the torus bundle X, and so but it may not come back to itself. So over each, I think you have a cycle, and then it's come back to some cycle over the same fiber, basically. But those are in the same homology class. So you have a two chain which is closed up to if we just add some co-boundary of a two chain here, and this two chain is defined up to a cohomology class in class of five. So anyway, and then the claim is that the evaluation of the class row on each one's chain, say C, on the closed one chain, is the same as a symplectic form on this cotangent torus bundle evaluated on this alpha. So in a sense, this class row is the same as symplectic form, symplectic class in this cotangent torus vibration. So in our case, it says that rho is more or less the same as a real part of omega. Now, if you look at the space of K3 surfaces, that that's classified by the periods, well, there is one word which I'm working on. I'm not able to get rid of. So if you take it elliptic three this section marked. It's a weight cube pure hot structure on lattice of that type 218, which is two hyperbolic lattices plus 298, and so you have a class omega. So omega lives in H218. C, same as you have two, omega 1 and omega 2, real part and the complex part, and the condition on the omega is that omega squared is 0, and what else? That's it, yeah. So if you, in terms of omega 1 and omega 2, this exactly tells you that omega 1 squared is equal to omega 2 squared, and omega 1 times omega 2 is 0. That's exactly what we had for the classes Rho and Mu. So there is a very good correspondence between Rho and omega, class of omega 1, and Mu, omega 2. So, but there is this marked thing, which, so we have to somehow mod out by an automorphism group of this 218 lattice. And this is actually a very interesting story, I believe, that's to see how this automorphism group acts on the space of leaves in your modulated space of the affine structure. So maybe I'll have 3 minutes, maybe I won't talk about the cubic differentials, but rather I'll maybe there are some arithmetic people in the audience, so time to wake up now. So I'm gonna say another outrageous conjecture of Konstantinovich. So remember, we have this 44-dimensional space of all possible affine structure on a sphere minus 24 points. And as Mark explained, and well, it's kind of clear that you can move your points near each, you can move your point along the eigen direction. This gives you the propagation of your 44-dimensional space, and the leaf is defined by the same monodromy. So each leaf is a 24-dimensional thing. Now you have to compactify this thing somehow. That's already mystery. Compactify this 44 and with leaves, and now so the conjecture. So let's call FP. Conjecture. It's a fundamental group. The monster. All right, and I guess I'll stop here. Thank you.
Are there questions or comments?
You mentioned the automorphism group of, I guess, H plus minus E8 plus minus E8. What's the structure of that automorphism group?
I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry.
So these are the integral isometries of...
I'm not an arithmetic. I have no idea what's automorphism. It's there are probably much more experts in the audience. So.
Oh, okay. But in any case, that's the object that's supposed to be acting.
It's an object supposed to be, yeah. Okay. Well, we have to compactify, so it's a kind of tricky story. But this group actually acts on, yeah. But I won't say more. So,
sure.
Because this is the this part which bothers me, so I don't understand much about it.
Okay.
Spell out what I knew. Yeah.
In the beginning, you illustrated a few things with the Hessel pencil of cubic curves. So the x cubed, y cubed. That doesn't live on a K3 surface, but you have to take a double cover or so. Then it doesn't have 24 singular fibers. So how much of what you said now, the 24 singular fibers, can also be done for this special, let's say, example?
I don't know. I never thought about this. So. What particular things do you want to do with this 24 fiber?
So it would be related to one of the examples I indicated without saying explicitly at the end of my talk.
Yeah.
That's why I want to understand more of the theater.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I suppose people know. Yeah. On the ice? Yeah.
That's changing the slope of this.
Yeah. I mean, this picture which I gave for KC, it works for it's not necessarily for I1 fiber. It's for any fiber. But I don't know anything about it. I mean, I've never did anything with this particular example.
No explicit examples.
Explicit.
This is general, you have 24 single fibers.
Well, we have explicit examples of affine spheres. I guess the Mark mentioned, but we don't know where to place the points. And you wouldn't know unless you want to consider metrics. That was one of the points of his talk. So you're free to move those. You can take the simplest example is like you can take a cube, for instance, a boundary of a cube. Mark, for some reason, one likes tetrahedra. I think cube is nicer. So you can view the affine structure on a boundary of a cube. It's very explicitly. So it's like here. This is given by this, given by this, and near the vertices, it's the way you look towards the center of the cube. This is what you find. So, but where to place those singular points, you don't know, and you don't care until you want to consider a metric.
But that's 12 singularities.
Hmm?
That's 12 singular points.
Well, it's twice. I mean, you can put two on each, or but then if. If you put one, then we're going to have 1, 2, 0, 1 monodromy. Or you can spread them to have two each one. That's the standard thing.
Thank you.
Other questions? If not, so let's ask the speaker again. We will start the next talk at the from this 3:30.
Why do I need a section? I don't. But it's sort of it doesn't matter whether you have a section or you don't. I mean, you would have the same structure sense because you can always take Jacobian, and you will get exactly the same structure on a sphere. So even if you don't have a section, you have a 19 dimensional family, but only like up to this.
The upper structure forgets some information.
Forgets, yeah. What?
You cannot expect to have the SSO. So but you did get 13, 38.